Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our lesson today is taken from our first reading from Acts chapter 3. For most folks, it takes only one time. You see it on TV. It slices, it dices, it makes the best julienne fries. You can cut through this garden hose right here. You can even cut through a soda can, and it still slices this tomato with ease, and it will never dull. You're hooked already. It's like, I gotta have one of those. So you buy it. And so you use it. And it gets dull like every other knife that you bought. Yeah, you get hooked on those kinds of things. Those ads, they show up on TV, especially around Christmas time. You know, you get all these kinds of things that make all kinds of promises. And then they've started making up these TV shows that go around and say, well, do these things really work? You know, do they work as advertised? And so you find out, it's like, no, they don't. Of course, you already knew that yourself because you bought the product. But it's just not that, buying something on TV. It might be one of those kind of get-rich-quick kind of things, right? Mr. Madoff comes to mind. And as you start doing that, people invest their money in those kinds of things, thinking they're going to get a quick buck. Well, guess what? Their retirement savings vanish just like something in a magic act. Happens over and over and over till you've learned never to get your hopes up. Well, there was this man lame from birth. He was brought to the gate of the temple. It's called the Beautiful Gate. Okay, he was dropped off there to ask for alms, right? In other words, he was begging. Okay, that's what he did. Day after day, they would bring him in there, and so then they'd be put over there, and that'd be his kind of spot, and people would walk by, and if they felt charitable that day, then they'd toss him a few coins. Well, one particular day, Peter and John, they're going into the temple. It's that time of day in which they go in there for prayer. And so this guy sees them there, and so the lame man asked for some alms. Well, Peter turns his head to look at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. And the lame man fixes his attention on them, expecting that he might receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk around and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, how often have you been expecting less and get more? Well, this is what happened right before our lesson here for this morning. The formerly lame man, everyone who recognized, is now the healthy, leaping man who is now clinging to Peter and John. And what does it say about the people who were there? Well, right there in that first verse for our lesson for today, it says they were utterly astounded. Why? Well, a miracle has happened, that's why. But why should the people be so shocked? Didn't Isaiah say something about this? Sure he did. Go back to Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man jump like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Well, how many have heard those words before and treated them something like they saw on TV? It's too good to be true. So obviously it's not. It's just one more story, people think. The Bible's full of them. Allegories, right? Okay, God just gave us a bunch of allegories, a bunch of made-up stories. Well, how many people felt that way back in the day? How many of you feel that way today? Okay, you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and nothing ever seems to happen. You pray and you pray and never change your lifestyle. Always expecting more and getting less. Think to yourself, it's like, I know those sins that you're doing there. It's like, well, that's not going to stop God from blessing me. Really? It's kind of like pouring dirt into your water all the time, expecting it to come out clean when you drink it. Hasn't God said again and again, repent? And we keep coming back with, what? Are we really supposed to do those things that God says? It's like, I'm really supposed to keep those commandments? I'm really supposed to do that? I just thought that was just one more story in the Bible. Just one more story in the Bible. That's what the people of Israel had been thinking. Jesus is just one more holy guy who's coming to town. We were expecting more from him, and we got less. Got himself killed, died on a cross. What's up with that guy? But the leaping man behind Peter and John, well, that got the people's attention. They want to know how all of this had happened. They want the good news, but what they got was bad news. Peter said it this way: "You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murder to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." Very hard words for the people to take, because they're thinking, what? That guy on the cross? Yes, that leaping man was standing there, jumping around as an indictment against them. He can also serve as an indictment against us. How many times do we approach the scriptures and think, well, that's just one more story in the Bible, right? How many times do we overlook the power of the resurrection? Jesus' death and rising again is the ultimate source of hope. Yet we try and figure things out on our own, right? And that's what we do. I mean, that's what our science is all about. Sit there and make up these particle accelerators that send protons zipping at each other. 17 miles they sit there and get these things going so they can get them up to speed near the speed of light. So they can crash into each other. And then they're hoping to find some kind of little special connection that keeps everything together. It's like, oh, that's what keeps the universe together. Really? If it's not that, then we send up a cool telescope up there in space. So we don't have to cut through the clouds or the smog or whatever there. And so we sit there and want to see how big our universe is. And so they look through it. And what do they find? It's even bigger than they thought. Yet, in all of this, how little do we realize that the truth is right there in front of us? We confess it every Sunday. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and earth. You see, God spoke and things came into existence. God said, hey, don't eat that, all right, or you're going to die. God spoke, repent. God sent his Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Those words, God's words, are not stories, but the truth. The truth is this: Jesus Christ of Nazareth came to this earth and lived a perfect life. He was delivered over to Pontius Pilate, who tried to set him free. But because of the people, well, Pilate had him punished. You know, they're thinking that, well, if I beat him and he gets suffers enough, then they'll let him go. But no, instead the people wanted the author of life to go to the cross and killed him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead. And this was done for you. Jesus released you from your sins. You have been freed from that punishment that we all deserve. Yes, you are to turn from those sins. Repent. Okay? There's an expectation that God has for all of us. That is, we are here, his dear children, that we need to follow those rules and regulations. Yeah, that's what he said in there. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how he wants us to live our lives. Because he wants us to have a relationship with him as his children. The author of life was raised from the grave, giving you the hope of everlasting life. So don't think of the resurrection as just one more story in the Bible, okay? It's the truth. Don't bind God, okay? Bind him, like tying him up, thinking that, well, there's only certain things that God can do, some things that he can't do. No, not at all. This is where we need to go back to the Bible again. Paul says this. Talks about God, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. That particular verse should change your prayer life. Because what is it saying? God is creating things that do not exist. So you're thinking that you have no hope, or the situation that you find yourself in is no hope. God can work through those things despite what we think about him. He can do anything. You see, trouble is when we get into those kinds of situations that we're no different than the world, thinking that, well, you know, God can't do it, so we don't get our hopes up because we don't want to be disappointed. But if you think about it, God did do everything for you. You were expecting less, and you received far more. Jesus' resurrection does that for you. Think about that. He's given you the hope of everlasting life. So therefore, live your life like the leaping man, the one who has received far more than what we expected or deserve, because you have forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. And that comes through the Savior, the one who died and rose again for you, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.